the Bugaboo, and very, very excited. I'm actually excited for the students who are actually studying the message today for credits. For those in the ICCM, I'm going to get a little closer to you here. I feel like I'm far away.
Come on,
man.
Come on.
Man, this thing is pretty serious. Okay, good. All right. Oh, thank you, man. I don't want to be too far. You know, some people are like, you know, I want to be with you as I am with you, amen? But yeah, the ICCM class, ICCM students, raise your hands. Okay, for those of you who don't know, ICCM stands for the International College of Christian Ministries, amen? It is an accredited school that throughout the world right now, we have branches all over from Sao Paulo, so it's pretty incredible to see what God is doing. Washington, D.C., L.A., all over. And it's a bachelor's in ministry program, and this program, let me tell you, is difficult.
Yeah.
These guys, they're sweating right now, but it's good. Yeah. It's good, because even now, as preparing to take this exam, they're also writing and preparing sermons. And so as we go through this this Luke series, what they don't know is something I'll tell you right now. In the month of December, our ICCM students will be preaching their lessons. Yeah. 6, 11, and 14. We're going to take the best of the ICCM sermons and have them preach it during the month of December. Yeah. So you'll be hearing them for communion. You'll be hearing them for contribution. You'll be hearing them on Sunday. I am not a selfish man when it comes to the pulpits. We must raise up men and women sharing, amen, to glorify God. Amen. Amen. Well, of course, I'm also very personally encouraged to have our dear friend Simu here with us. Amen. We can pray for him as he's actually, once he gets baptized today, amen, he's literally going back to be a missionary to his homeland because he's leaving this Friday.
Right.
This Friday, he's leaving. So if you haven't spent time with him yet, please do so. Encourage him. Truly, he is a man that we sat down kind of across yesterday, and I was firing questions at him, changing things, acting one way. Dude, I was going at him like two different ways. He was like, bang, 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 bang. About the Holy Spirit. Well, what about this? What about that? What about this? Nope, you can't do it. Nope. He was laying it. I was like, this man has been made into a disciple of Jesus Christ. What if your wife decides to leave you? Well, I love her, but she's not going to stop you from following God. What if the whole church decides to leave you? I love them, but they're not paying me anyway. So we're going to go ahead and do it. But all of like, listen, I am ready to do what it takes.
Amen.
And so be praying for him because he's all alone. He's got to come back and he's got to win his family, help his wife to understand all these things. And here's the thing, she doesn't speak English. Right now, he is preparing to, when he gets that first principle book, he's going to take that and change that into his native tongue.
Right?
So we're going to have a first principle, and our native tongue again is called?
Chichewa.
Yes, so he's going to turn that into the native tongue of Malawi, so that his wife can learn it, so that the key leaders in the church can learn it, so that they can go together and start teaching and preaching. Are you with me now? Yeah. And so, as I said, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Luke here. So far, we've studied several different themes in the book of Luke. Amen? Chapter 1, we talked about the arrival of an angel, right? How Jesus, how God in the flesh, came to the earth to be a servant of salvation to the world. God made himself a servant for us, pronounced by this angel. Chapter 2, we talked about, oh, come, let us adore him. A song we don't sing very often, but a song we have to really understand what it means. Because if we really do claim to adore God, we need to obey God. Amen?
Amen.
And chapter 2 goes into the fact that even though Jesus was a young boy, his adoration to the Father resulted in him obeying God first. Right? Even as a 12-year-old boy, talking to his parents, did you not know I had to be in my Father's house? I mean, that's pretty serious right there. If we claim to adore God, we have to be willing to obey him. Then we talk about chapter 4. Because, you know, we didn't do chapter 3 because the ICCM students are preparing a lesson on chapter 3 that they're going to do later for you. Amen. So we went to now chapter 4, which is called The Global Revolution Begins. We talked about Jesus began his ministry as his message was revolutionary to liberate those who were in sin. Then, last week, we went to chapter 5, The Master's Unstoppable Strategy. How Jesus was willing to take risks and call others to follow him, right? But he's also compassionate to get his hands dirty, to deal with issues, and he didn't allow the priorities of the world to distract him from seeking and saving the lost.
Amen.
And that's something for us as disciples. Satan wants to make you busy. He wants to make you so busy that you have no time to do something that has an eternal significance. Are you with me or not? Do you know what busy stands for, right? B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke.
Woo!
When you're so busy, you have no time to do the very will of God.
Yeah.
Satan has now quarantined you. The disciple, he has no impact in the world. Let him stay over there. Guys, let's make sure we're not too busy to actually have an eternal significance. Amen?
Amen.
And so today, we're going to look at chapter 7 and chapter 8.
Woo!
Now, the title of the message is called Jesus' Revolutionary Elevation of Women.
Woo!
Now, why is this revolutionary? Because, of course, back in Jesus' time, Gentiles were considered second class. Women were considered second class. Are you with me here? But yet Jesus was a revolution. He brought change to the world. And so, it's powerful because as we're going to study it out today, the key topic is to talk about Jesus' revolutionary. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. We're going to get there.
Come on.
I don't know. Is that a word for
it? No. Revolutionary.
Amen. Jesus is revolutionary. Elevation.
Amen.
Amen. There is grace and truth. There's grace and truth, bro. For now. All right, here we go. So now today, we're going to talk about values. And each one of the points start with value.
Amen.
Alright.
Turn over with me first to Luke chapter 16.
Wow.
Come on, bro.
God values people.
Amen.
He values all people. And specifically, we're going to see that he values women. You know, men may have the role of leadership, but women are not less than equal. Are you with me?
Right.
People have to understand that while our roles may be different, we're still considered equal in God's eyes.
That's right.
And so today we're going to talk about value. We're going to talk about, what is value? It's the worth that we attribute to things in our lives. Something is valuable depending upon how available it is. Are you with me here? It also is valuable depending upon what the need is. So it's interesting because as human beings, sometimes we can be very fickle. We can be very temperamental. We can change the value of things based on our circumstances. So, for example, a beggar cares nothing for money in a famine. Are you with me? A beggar, as much as people love money today, if all of a sudden today Nigeria was under famine, you think money would be the biggest thing?
No.
What would be the biggest thing?
No.
People would be willing to give jewelry, clothes, money, cars. Why? Just give me some grain. Give me food so I can live. Money cannot feed you unless you have that food. Are you with me here?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about what we value. And very often we can have the wrong values in life. Take a look at Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, let's read together starting in verse 13. Are you there?
Yeah.
Luke 16, starting in verse 13. The Bible reads, "No servant can serve two masters." So again, you have to ask yourself, who is your master? Who is your daddy? Are you with me? Who is your daddy? Who is your master? It says here, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And the disciple says, amen. Now, do you believe that's the truth in this world today? Is that what's being taught here in Lagos?
No.
No, they say, no. You can do both. You can be devoted to both equally. Actually, you deserve for God to bless you.
Yeah.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
That's what prosperity and religion teaches.
That's true.
It teaches that you deserve to be blessed, even though you're a sinner. Mm. You deserve for God to heap blessings upon you. Why is that? Explain to me. If that's the case, then didn't Jesus deserve to be in a mansion when he was born instead of a manger? Explain to me then, if Jesus didn't deserve that, or didn't God even allow him to do that, then why should we, who are sinners, expect more? Is salvation not enough? That's the issue. Well, it goes on. It says, verse 14, the Pharisees, now who are the Pharisees? They are the religious leaders of the day. They were the PhDs of the day. What did they say? The The Pharisees were what?
Love.
Who loved money. Heard all this and were what?
Sneered.
Have you ever seen someone sneer? And then they just put up their nose like they're smelling something unpleasant. Right? They're sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight."
Wow.
What do you value? Now, sometimes we think we value God more than we do. I would agree with you. It's important to value, I believe, what our all-knowing, all-powerful God values. And one of the key things God values is women. So take a look over in Proverbs 31. For example, I value my wife. I value my wife. I love my wife. I want her to be radiant. Whenever I go to, we go out and we see brothers and sisters, and the brother's like, "Bro, your wife's radiant." I'm like, that's my, I want to make sure my if my wife eats heat, she eats. You know, here, here in Nigeria, it's like, let the man eat. Man, you go take care of yourself. Right? See, the way I'm from,
gentlemen, open the door for the lady. Gentlemen, serve the lady first.
Gentlemen. You know, I just think that's me. That's not just me. That's Jamaican me. That's biblical me. I see people walk around and it's like, the man's like, whoa. I mean, to this day, I remember when Patrick was sharing about how her mother, when the plane caught fire, the engine, men were pushing women out of the way to get out first.
Wow.
There was a pregnant woman on the plane. They were pushing her away to get out first.
Wow.
But there's something that's changed over time. There's a lost chivalry. There's a lost honor. You know, back in the days, you know, you hear of stories like the Titanic. When the Titanic was going down, the men said, "Take my seat. I would die rather than let a lady, like, drown." That's old school. That's old school, being a gentleman, a man of honor. But today it's like, who was aside? Am I not the man?
Wow.
No, the funny thing is that when a man serves in that way and is a gentleman, does that not inspire the woman to respect and submit to him? God is genius. God is genius. Take a look over in Proverbs 31. Be careful, family. We are a Bible church, not a Nigerian church. Be careful that the culture of society does not creep its way into the church. There are some things that are debatable, but there are other things that are not. Be careful. Be very careful. Proverbs 31, what does the Bible say? It says here, verse 10, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth," and I did, amen. "She is worth far more than rubies and diamonds. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value." You see, if I have my wife on my side, I need nothing else. God does. She's my best friend. She loves me. She's my best friend. Marriage, I was hoping for a big amen right there. Yeah, that's the way it should be, amen. And she brings love, she brings value to my life. And so today, we're going to talk about value. And we're going to talk about how God values women. Today, we're actually examining, take a look back over in Luke chapter 7. What our Dr. Elena McKean calls the women's elevation section of the Gospel of Luke, which is Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to chapter 8, verse 56. It's a whole series, a whole stretch of where you see Jesus elevating women and showing how valuable they are to God. My point today, point number one, is this. Value the lonely. Value the lonely. What do I mean by that? Let's take a look here in Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Hopefully you guys have all had a chance to read the Good News email I've sent
out.
If you haven't, I would encourage you, if you're a guest, go online to our website, lagosicc.org, and you'll see good news from around the world of what God is doing. But as we read here, I'm going to share some key, inspiring pieces of good news from the Good News email as we learn today. And Luke 7, let's read starting in verse 11. The Bible reads, "Soon after, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town, a deaf person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow." So you have a woman here who now has lost not only her husband, but also her son. The very men who could protect and provide for her. It goes on. It says a large crowd was with her. So you got a crowd with Jesus, and you got a crowd with her. Verse 13. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and said, "Don't cry." Then he went up, touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk.
Wow. What?
And Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said.
Wow.
"God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. This is an amazing scene.
Mm-hmm.
Two crowds. The crowd with Jesus meets the crowd in the funeral procession. And you have to understand here, the anguish of this mother was even greater. If we understand that when someone died in those days, right, the funeral and the burial was the same day because of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine just waking up, boom, you find out your son is dead. Your only son. And you have to bury him and have a funeral for him that day. Because if you don't, the heat is so bad, he'll start to rot.
Wow.
Most likely, the pallbearers were carrying the dead man's body on a board through with a sheet. And yet, Jesus, I can only imagine many things going on. But here's a woman who's a widow. So in the world's eyes to her, who is she? Right? But God knows who you care for.
Widows.
He sees the widow. He sees that. And he, of course, in his sovereignty, he knows she's lost her only son. What the scripture says, his heart went out to her. Does your heart still go out to people who are lonely?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the loneliness in people's faces when you walk in the street? People can put up a great front. Are you with me here? But a lot of people don't trust people. A lot of people don't have real friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And so they act like they have a lot of homies. Associates, but they're not really close to anyone. I did a Bible talk just this week about who do you trust? And we're going around, and I'm like, who do you really trust? And you'd be shocked. People who came in yesterday, like, I guess I trust this person I knew way back in secondary school. We loved each other maybe once a year or so, but I trust her. I'm not joking. That's the people do not trust. And because they don't trust, because people have hurt them, right?
They're lonely.
Yeah, that's true.
See, that's why I'm grateful for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Because the kingdom of God is built on trust.
Right?
It's built on God's word.
Yeah.
We can be open and honest and real with each other.
Yeah.
Build real friendships, real relationships.
Yeah.
But then, sometimes we forget that in the world, they don't have this.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we don't bring that garbage into the kingdom either.
Yeah.
And start now questioning, should I trust this, that, and the third? It's scary. You know, for the disciples here, you know I sent out the message to you regarding Roberta. I'm not sure if you have the picture of her, bro. You know, my heart went out to the church in DRC when I heard about this. I mean, when I went to DRC, you guys know back in July, I went to DRC. We helped to reconstruct the church there. And Jean Jean was one of the women who met me at the airport early in the morning.
Wow.
Early in the morning. She's like one of the key sisters from the beginning of that church.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing because of her kids. Roberta, her daughter, became a disciple, amen, and had been, so she was in two Bible studies right before she died. Like she had a Bible study with two women beforehand. She was coming from her job when I'm now a mini bus. She died on the spot. And you know, it just reminds me that even as disciples, life is brief.
Yeah.
We worry about all these things.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, I want this. Why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? God's like, okay, you can come home now. Does all your worries really matter anymore now?
Nope.
And so, Roberta was her only daughter.
Wow.
And so I can only imagine how she feels right now. So, as I said, disciples, if you have a chance to reach out to her on Facebook, please do so and express your condolences. I think it would be very moving for her. But Jesus' heart also went out to this lady that had no hope, who had no husband and son to protect her. And, you know, for us, for those of you who are our guests today, we also have just, it's really pretty historic, that the Sold Out Movement of Churches have just collaborated with a general in Cambodia,
yeah,
who now, we've started the Chem Mercy Orphanage,
yeah,
that has 58 orphans.
Yeah.
And we're now investing as a movement of churches to help build that orphanage.
Yeah.
That for so many orphans who sadly have no mother, no father, because our hearts go out to them. And the general who's actually leading it, he actually is an orphan himself because of the whole Pol Pot. Thank you, bro. This is the orphanage here. You may roll up a little bit. And this is a Brother Kip signing the Memorandum of Understanding with General Chem. It's powerful. He, as I said, was an orphan from the Pol Pot massacre. Now he's a general in charge of the Cambodian military police.
Wow.
And so it was his dream to really say, man, what can we do here? But obviously he didn't have the funds, so we're helping to support the work there. And now, as you can see, these are just some of the orphans there. There are 58 of them. The prayer is to get those facility up to be able to handle 200.
Wow.
So it's very, 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 very encouraging. And it's awesome because Nick and Denise Bordieri, who lead our mercy efforts around the world, they're in their 50s.
Yeah.
And they're now leading the church and leading the whole orphanage project there. So be praying for them. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's get back to Luke.
Remember.
In Luke chapter 7, in verse 18, let's see what the Bible says next. Luke 7, in verse 18, it says, John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the one, the Lord, to ask, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is a man who does not fall away on account of me. Let's stop there. You have read this passage many times, but I always wondered, why did Jesus say, blessed is a man who does not fall away on account of me? Do you know why? Because John, whom Jesus called the greatest person born of women, before the kingdom, amen, had doubts.
Yeah.
And his doubts made him in danger of falling away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When Jesus now was saying this, he's like, you know what? I hope John doesn't fall away.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have doubts this morning?
Mm-hmm.
You just seem kind of quiet. You okay?
Come on, bro.
You seem a little down. Look at some of your faces. Maybe it's been a tough week. I know it's been a long, tough week for me. I got up, I went probably to bed around 2 this morning. But I'm here to give you my best. You know, I think sometimes we can doubt. And John the Baptist doubted because Jesus wasn't the Jesus John had expected.
Mm.
Many maybe if you're a disciple here this morning, you're thinking, you know, this discipleship isn't exactly what I expected. Are you with me? Yeah, I was talking to Osas last night. We were celebrating the birthday together. And he was like, you know what? You know, there's some people that are struggling, and you know, but they're not talking. I'm like, really? Well, let's talk about it, bro. And he was like, well, you know, it's interesting because I don't understand people. It's like they struggle with being a disciple. It's not about being a disciple or not. It's about being saved or not. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to be a disciple, that means you don't want to be saved.
That's right.
Period. Yeah. It's not like, oh, I don't want to be a disciple, and so I can just go ahead and still believe in God and I'm okay. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works, family. Mm-hmm. Either you're a disciple or you're lost. And I think that's the thing. People don't actually want to put in the effort for glory. They don't want. They want to get to heaven, but they don't want to be willing to work hard to get it. Mm-hmm. They think that they're just entitled to whatever. And that kind of entitlement can make people lazy.
Yeah.
That's why people struggle. Because they want to be lazy. Mm-hmm. They don't really want to give their best to God. Ultimately, because they're not really valuing what God has done for them. Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting here. I think about what God has done, and just seeing what Jesus is doing around the world. For those of you who haven't read the Good News email, you can get this up, bro. It'd be awesome. I want to share with you about what's going on in Haiti and the Dominican Republic. I want to share this. You guys need to get inspired. We need to get some pictures up because these guys look like they're about to fall asleep. Let me explain to you. You know, my brother, you guys know Blaise Foma, amen?
Yeah.
Blaise is one of my dear, dear, dear friends. My wife and I sat with them in L.A. when we were there. And now he and his wife oversee all the French-speaking countries on the continent, amen, as well as Haiti. And so after the GLC, our brother Blaise traveled to Haiti for a leadership workshop there to get all the leaders in Haiti going. Right now, we have 10 churches and 10 cities. Back in 2013, they helped Alexis, who was a mainline Church of Christ preacher, right? He heard about our movement and said, listen, the mainline church is dead. I need help. So Kim texted and said, okay, well, you know, why don't you come to the GLC? We're not going to pay for you. You come of your own accord to test his sincerity. He made it happen, and he came. Wow. Not like Dr. Benedict, amen?
Yeah.
And so he came. He saw, he was blown away, studied the Bible, and was baptized. A preacher leading many people was baptized. Are you with me here? Well, by August, the Haitian churches numbered about 315 disciples. But while they're in Haiti, right, when Blaise and I went back for like a fifth missionary journey or sixth missionary journey to strengthen each time, they actually went back and converted four leaders from a denominational church.
Hmm.
If you go up here, go up. Okay, this was a leadership workshop they were having for the leaders of the Haitian churches there. Go up. Awesome. Okay, now here, go up a little bit, bro. These are the four right here,
wow,
former paid leadership of the Pilgrim Church of God, a denominational church. They went there, studied the Bible with a pastor, a deaconess, and two associate pastors, and they all became true baptized disciples. Then, another 12 in the church, in that Pilgrim Church of God, which is about 120, another 12 studied the Bible and got baptized.
Nice.
But after that, they were like, another mainline church in Haiti of 72 souls also wanted to join our movement, and another 36 got baptized.
Wow.
I mean, God is just, in Haiti, it's amazing. Then after that, it's interesting because a mainline Church of Christ preacher, Elise, who Blaise baptized back in 2017 in Haiti, opened the door to now the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, Haiti and Dominican Republic are one key item right there, right? This is Manola, right? And so, this guy, Elise, let me see. Here's Elise. Right?
Uh-huh.
Elise, who Blaise had baptized back in 2017, another mainline Church of Christ preacher, he knew a guy in the Dominican Republic named Cholo. And this guy was also another Church of Christ preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, they said, you know what? This guy's open. He wants help. So they now travel from Haiti to now the Dominican Republic.
Mm.
So they traveled to the Dominican Republic, and it was powerful because when they get there, the church that was there, that Shalom was leading, let me explain to you what happened. go up a little bit, bro. Ladies and studying with all these people here. I have over 77 people. It's remarkable. What's powerful here is that when Blaze came to visit, they actually built a bedroom extension on the building of the church to house them.
Wow.
And so it's a church that doesn't have a lot of money. You're talking about, literally, Dominican Republic. You think you're poor. Okay?
Yeah.
Right? They built a bedroom extension for them, for Elise and the four of them to stay. Some people, they would say, sacrifice an entire month's wage to accomplish the goal of building this bedroom for them.
Wow.
So that they can now stay and teach them the word.
Wow.
So now, when you think, we've been talking about raising a contribution, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've been talking about saying, hey, listen, we were praying for the marriage to be able to raise per week at least 2 singles, at least 500, campus, at least 200, teens, just raise, 50 is okay, you know, whatever, but that's the least. If we want to go ahead and see, God willing, if our next week we truly fill up this place, which I believe we can do, we're going to need new places to meet, family. We're going to need to meet the mainland, meet on the mainland. We're going to need to meet in the islands. But are we willing to sacrifice to make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Are we willing to sacrifice so that all our friends who come out next week can truly become true disciples?
Mm-hmm.
See, the rah-rah, sis, kumbah stuff only goes so far as what we're willing to sacrifice.
That's right.
Are you with me here?
Right.
These guys were willing to sacrifice. And so, after studying the Bible with 77 souls, 15 were baptized, including Shelo and his wife, Amarie.
Wow.
Amen.
So, that's Shelo and Amsia. He and his wife were baptized. And now, another 8 were baptized recently, bringing the total to 23 sold out disciples in the El Positio ICC.
Hey!
In the Dominican Republic. Hey. Amen. Hey.
But that's not it. That's not it. These guys had such a heart that they formed a school to take care of 65 underprivileged children from Haitian migration who had come from Haiti to the DR.
Yeah. Wow.
Without any outside support, they had formed a school to be able to meet their needs.
Wow.
And so guys, you want to talk about God is moving? And this guy doesn't have a lot of money, but he's willing to do that.
Wow.
What are you doing with your salary?
Wow.
What are you doing with your contribution? For those of you who miss contribution, what are you doing? And you call yourself a Christian.
Come on, Andrew.
We gotta have conviction.
Wow.
Look at these guys. There's always gonna be excuses. Are you with me here? But if you understand what the stakes are, we need to invest in God's kingdom.
Right.
And so, prayerfully, by October 2019, we're going to have our first Caribbean International Conference in Puerto Rico. And by the grace of God, we now have 386 disciples in 11 churches on both sides of the Hispaniola right there.
Amen.
In Haiti and also now in the Dominican Republic.
Amen.
May God be glorified.
Amen.
In Luke chapter 7, verse 24. You know, what we're doing here matters, family.
Amen.
It matters a lot. I know if you talk to Samu, he'll tell you how much it matters.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we can even start to forget how lonely people are, and not only that, but how much we need to be grateful for our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? Samu now is going to be lonely.
Mm-hmm.
But he will not be alone. He'll be walking with the Lord. He's going to be on WhatsApp. He's going to be connecting with Ezekiel in Uganda, Michael in Kenya, Jacques in South Africa.
Yeah.
Other men that know what it's like to walk alone, but they're walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
Are you with me, family? In Luke chapter 7, verse 24, what is it about right here? After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I'll send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John.
Right.
Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Because you are a baptized disciple. You are greater than John the Baptist.
Wow.
Because you've been washed clean in the blood of Jesus. Part of the new covenant. Do you even consider yourself that way? All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Wow. What does that tell you? When someone is not baptized, they have not fulfilled their purpose. Some of you may be thinking, oh, I have doubts, so maybe I don't need to get baptized. What? It's not until you get baptized into Christ that you have fulfilled your purpose. I hope you have deep convictions now.
Yeah.
Don't let this religious world all of a sudden make you wishy-washy on what true doctrine is. Are you with me? And once you're baptized, now you have a mission.
Amen.
You are saved to save. Amen. That's what our brother Blaze was doing.
Mom.
Leaving his family, his wife and children behind, to go. I know when he comes, I spoke to him after he got back. He's like, bro, I'm feeling sick. I mean, you can imagine going back and forth, preaching, your voice is tired, you're eating food you're not used to. Sick, but happy to be able to help. There he is, a true missionary titled Light and Fast. You got his other comment right there.
Alright.
Traveling in Haiti. Guys, let me tell you. It's my prayer that one day we'll have 300 blazes in this church. Blazing a path, amen? That's what I'm praying for. We're not here to make seats warm.
That's true.
We're here to make an impact in Nigeria and the world. Point number two, value the sinful.
Come on, bro.
You know, anyone sinful in here?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. You know, it talks about valuing the lonely. And as I said, Jesus loved women. He loved everyone, but understood. People are lonely, man. They need God a lot more than they act like they do.
Yeah.
It is very clear. And we've also got to be willing to love those who are lonely and to see their need for God. Point number two, we have to value the simple. Take a look over in Luke 7:36. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I'm preaching this morning. I got pitches for you. I mean, I'm trying my best here. You better give me your best. Are you with me?
All right.
Luke 7:36. What does the Bible say here? Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life, you know what that means, right?
Yeah.
In that town, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man was a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. That she is a sinner. Wow. Well, you know the rest of the story, don't you? Shall we read? Let's continue reading. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had a bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came to your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss. But this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little. And Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Value the sinful. You know, the woman here is not Mary Magdalene. It's Mary of Bethany. John's gospel makes it very clear the identity of her in John 11. But everyone that's named in the New Testament either did something very evil or became a prominent disciple here.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that this guy's name, Simon, is mentioned. So you know, if Jesus names his name, he really did something stupid. Right? And so he realized, wow, here's this guy. This guy is supposed to be a Pharisee, a teacher of the law. And what does he do? In his head, you know, he's too smart to say it out loud. So what does he do? He thinks he's coy. So he's looking at him, probably sneering at him in his face, like, you know what I mean? Like, imagine. Imagine if, like, a prostitute walked in here, and I'm sitting down right there, and all of a sudden, she comes down to my feet and starts kissing my feet. She starts pouring perfume on me. But you'd be looking at it like, yo. Yeah. 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 So imagine. Now, let's be honest. What would you do?
Oh.
Right? I don't know if I'll even like, oh, I'm going to be spiritual and remember Luke chapter 7. I'm going to be real, but I remember this passage. No. That's not what she would do. You'd be like, Pastor, do you know this law? Do you know what she has been? She's kissing your feet. Do you know where her mouth has been? So, before you judge Simon too quickly, you better check yourself, bro. Right? Let's be honest. We might have been like, I mean, at least Simon. At least he didn't say anything. He was probably like, this is crazy. Oh, snap. This is... So I'm sure his face was like, talk about snap. I bet you, if that happened in here, you guys would be saying something. Right? Exactly. But yeah, what did Jesus say? Now, of course, Simon hadn't really loved up on Jesus the way he needed to anyway. So that just that shows you a lot right there. But guys, all of us have been forgiven much. You know, no matter how many sins you committed before you became a disciple, God loves you the same.
Amen.
And therefore, we should love Jesus much. And, you know, we've got to be willing to love people even when their sin is gross. I think sometimes we think other people's sin is better than yours.
Yeah,
that's
true.
That's what we do. We start looking down and we're like, and I'm like, guys, let's just be honest. All of you have prostituted yourselves.
That's right.
All of you, including me. We prostituted ourselves to the world.
Yeah.
But we committed sexual immorality, impurity. You may say, I didn't get money for it. No, you gave it up for free.
Yeah.
You're worse than a prostitute. At least a prostitute is trying to make money to take care of her kids. People today sleep around for free. And then justify it in the eyes of men. And God says that is detestable. So before you're so quick to look down on the prostitute, remember you were a prostitute for free.
Yeah, come on. That's right, bro.
You know, recently, you know, in the Good News email, I talked about this couple, Dr. Echo and Priscilla Osingo. I'm not sure if you can show them. Dr. Echo and Priscilla Osingo. You know, sometimes we look at people and we think, you know, they don't commit sin now. They're too popular. They look at what they've accomplished. Listen, everybody sins. Everybody sins. Now, hopefully, you know, shouldn't sin too much. But this couple in the DRC, Dominican Republic of Congo, this guy's a doctor. Right? He's a medical doctor. And guess what? He was in sin. What was he doing? He was sleeping with his girlfriend. This one. But by the time of this picture, they were married, amen. But before, he's a medical doctor, he's with his girlfriend, they were living together, and they had already had a kid together.
Wow.
So guess what? They sit down with disciples, and you know what they do? Disciples are like, no, you cannot be like guilty. You know, this is wrong. You can't be living in sin like this. So guess what? They move out.
Yeah. Wow.
The standard of discipleship. You prove your repentance by your deeds.
That's right.
Same thing I did in LA when we had a couple. We had a couple in LA. They were living together, had kids. And we're like, listen, you know, the Bible's very clear. You can't be living in sin. And the woman was like, okay, no problem. And at first the guy was like, woman, can I just sleep on the couch?
No.
No. So she's like, okay, no problem. Here's what I'm going to move out. And she actually moved out to live with one of the shepherding couples. And then they worked together and planned out how they got their kids to school and all that stuff. While they were doing that, they studied the Bible. They studied the Bible. Not only got baptized, I married them later. And so, God blesses repentance. And so, but we got to value the simple. Sometimes we don't actually look at sin and say, oh, well, gosh, he's a doctor. He's in sin!
Yeah.
And so you know what they did? We have the same standard wherever you go. Same standard in Lagos, same standard in LA, same standard in Kinshasa.
Right.
They broke up, they made it right, they became two disciples, and then they got married.
Awesome.
It's awesome. Baptized, 2 weeks later, we're united in marriage.
Wow.
Because disciples marry disciples. I'm telling you, well, you see, you can't write the BBC email, you don't know.
Right.
You've already been encouraged by it. This is just a reminder for you. Well, family, I really hope, you know, this passage goes on to talking about, you know, if you're forgiven, he who has been forgiven little loves little, right? But he who's been forgiven much loves much, right? If you understand how much you've been forgiven, that actually inspires you now to make an impact.
That's right.
Yeah. Are you with me here? Yep. So, for example, in Manila, right? Manila, and you see if you can get this up. You might as well just leave that bad boy over. In Manila, they've had 24 additions in the last 7 weeks.
Wow.
That's like 4 people every Sunday coming to be baptized, right? Their campus Sunday, we had a great campus Sunday here, amen?
Yeah.
Their campus Sunday had 387 souls in attendance.
Wow.
2 baptisms. And let me tell you, that happened while there was a typhoon going on in Manila.
Wow.
So imagine how many people would have come out if they didn't have the typhoon. These are all the disciples here from the Metro Manila College for the pre-service setup. They look pretty fired up to me right there.
Yeah.
Right? But you have to ask yourself, if you understand you've been forgiven much, do you love much? Are you with me, family?
Come on.
How's it going? You know, last week I challenged you to start sharing your faith. How's that going?
Come on, bro.
Do you have a visitor here today? Did you have a visitor of the week? Did you have a visitor of Bible talk? And things will go, people will, you know, they'll blame on you, whatever, but did you really make an effort to love people this week? Because I think that's the hard thing. You know, how hard you work is directly proportional to how you appreciate the grace of God. Let me say that again. How hard you work is directly proportional to how much you appreciate the grace of God. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my children. Why? Because I love them. God has blessed me with them. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But yet my wife, my children haven't died for me. But I'm willing to get up early, make breakfast, do whatever it takes, serve them, up early, out late, whatever it takes. So if I can do that for my family who hasn't died for me, how much more should we serve God who has died for us?
Yeah, right.
I appreciate my soon-to-be brother here, Samuel. Can you imagine leaving your wife and 4 children for 3 weeks? Five children for 3 weeks just to be able to learn the Word of God?
Wow.
It is truly remarkable. Alright, third point. We're going to start to close out here.
Come on.
Value women's leadership. Now, first, the men lead the church, amen?
Yeah.
But we have women leading women in the church, amen? Take a look over at Luke chapter 8. This whole passage is the women's elevation. You see how Jesus is just lifting up women in different places. He lifted up the widow. Then he lifted up the Mary of Bethany, the prostitute. He's just lifting up women and showing you how we need to value them.
Amen.
Value the lonely. Value the simple. Value women leaders.
Amen.
Luke 8, verse 1. The Bible reads, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town to the village and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases.
Amen.
Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women We're helping to support them out of their own means.
Wow.
So what do we see here, family? Jesus not only walked with the 12, but he had women followers. He needed women leaders. And so you see the top three women leaders here, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, who I'm Cusa, right? And then Susanna. And it's cool because he mentions these three inner circle of women before he mentions the three inner circle of men in Luke 9, 28. Later, you don't have to turn it now, but he talks about how when right before the transfiguration, he takes Peter, James, and John up with him. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
So here, before he even mentions the inner circle of men, he mentions the inner circle of the women.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome right there, right? And Mary Magdalene is listed in every list of the women, just as Peter, she was listed first. In every list of the women, just as Peter was listed first in the men, she was the leader of the women.
Wow.
And yet she had seven demons cast out of her.
Come on.
Just remind you that, guys, leadership, let me tell you, we got to make sure we cast any kind of wicked demons in us. Amen? But you remember, leaders are no better than anybody else.
That's right.
We're just one beggar trying to help another beggar find bread.
That's right.
Right? And so these women supported the ministry of Jesus. They were Jews, so according to the Old Testament standard, they gave a tithe. So they gave to support Jesus and the 12. Are you with me here?
Amen.
In effect, that was their mission's contribution.
Amen.
It was world missions at the time. And we got to have the heart too, guys. As I'm talking about this contribution, we need to have the heart to be able to sacrifice and do more. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Don't claim to say I'm with you and then not sure when contribution comes around.
Mm.
Otherwise, we're just talking the talk.
Yeah.
We're not a kingdom of talk, but of power. Amen, family?
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, leaders give the most. Because leaders believe in the mission the most.
Mm-hmm.
I take that personally. You ask anyone else, you know what we do.
Yes.
We take a break. We set the example in our giving. This is not my church. I don't get paid from this. None of that nonsense. This is not a business to me. This is an investment in God's kingdom.
Right?
And so, guys, we gotta have a deep conviction here. I appreciate this sister, Sarah Ngungu. If you don't know her, she's a Bible talk leader in the DR church. DRC Church, the Democratic Republic of Congo. And she was sharing about her contribution, how literally in an interview, in Kinshasa, unemployment is 49%.
Wow.
So if you think getting a job here is bad, right? 49% unemployment rates in Kinshasa. So, Qingpao was applying, and literally, there were more or less 20 people applying for the job. She, Sarah, and three others were shortlisted for an interview with the CEO. And long story short, during the interview, the CEO was saying, "Hey, Sarah, are you willing to be flexible about the numbers? Because, we want to make sure that if the company needs to make a profit, you need to be able to listen to us. You need to fudge the numbers a little bit to do what we need to do."
Mm.
And he was very straightforward. Like, this is what you need to do. Are you willing to do that? And of course, Sarah was just like, no, I'm a disciple. I can't do that. Right? He's like, are you sure? Because, if you're going to get this job, you got to be willing to fudge numbers and do what it takes to make a profit. Right? But of course, what happens? She says no. Next day, CEO calls her.
You got the job. What would you do?
Because, you understand the CEO was purposely acting shady to see. Because, all men are liars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we see that here a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, the CEO is like, come on, for the sake of the company, hey, we can take care of you too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're willing to put some numbers, right? You know how many people would say yes?
Mm-hmm.
A lot. Of course, no problem. Look the other way. But don't you go to that church at least down the street? Aren't you a deacon, shepherd, preacher even? I've had preachers steal our money or try to.
Yeah.
I told you that story before. But guys, what's so powerful here is that when you see women like that taking a stand, we need more women who are willing to take a stand like that.
Right.
We need more women leaders in Lagos.
Amen.
Guys, God is giving an incredible women's ministry leader.
Amen.
We need more women to raise up and stand and say, here am I, send me. Not like our sister Shinyeri. When her husband was in the ministry, she was here, come out at one point, working a bank job, and all of a sudden it happened. And now, to be able to know that, wow, she's given up her bank job to be able to go back to the ministry.
Amen.
That is awesome.
Come on.
Family, I hope you truly respect that.
Yeah.
And see the power in that.
Come on,
Andrew. You know, you take a look over at Titus real quick here.
Come on, bro.
Come on, Andrew. Just to make sure you understand, we need a woman's ministry. And my wife is not just a pretty pastor's wife.
Oh, she's pretty though.
Although she is very pretty. No, serious. There are churches where, you know, all the pastor's wife just sit down and look pretty and smile. That's all she does. That's not what my wife came here to do.
That's right.
That's not what my wife gave her law degree and law practice to do.
Yeah.
She came here to lead women. Yeah. So she can save women for the Lord. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Right? And so, in Titus chapter 2, what do we see here? Well, the Bible is very clear about what my role is and what her role is. It says here in chapter 2, speaking to the evangelist, it says, you must teach what is in accordance with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect. Just because you're old doesn't mean you get respected. You need to be worthy of that respect. Although here in Nigeria, people love to get respect.
Yeah.
They don't like to earn it. Teach the old men to be temperate, worthy of respect. Thank God for the older men in this church. They're worthy of respect. Worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in the faith, in love, and endurance. So I'm supposed to teach the older men, hey, you don't fly off the handle and get angry. You're temperate. You're worthy of respect. You're setting an example in your life. You're self-controlled, sound in the faith. You're not wishy-washy. You're not here today, gone tomorrow. Oh, where have you? Haven't been around for a month. Haven't been around for a month. Sound in the faith, love, and endurance. Then, likewise, teach the older women. That's my role, to teach the older women.
Amen.
Right? My wife is taking notes. I teach the older women. That is my role. You understand? To be reverent in the way they live. Not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women.
All right.
Amen. To love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands.
Right.
So that no one will malign the word of God.
Amen.
Similarly, encourage young men to be self-controlled.
Period.
That's all they need to vote for. You got that. I'm just thinking self-controlled. Right? Guys, Titus was called to disciple the older men, older women, young men, everyone except
the younger women.
The younger women. But what do we see today?
Pastor, yes, Pastor, can I come and talk about my sins?
And you wonder why all this impurity is going on in churches.
Yeah.
You see, if they follow God's plan, they would know.
Yeah.
Women need to lead the women.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you know, I'll give you advice and you'll learn from me if I preach to you,
of course.
But you're not going to be coming to my office, closing the door, sitting there, opening your heart about, can I confess my impurity to you?
No.
No, no, no. You need to go find a sister.
That's right.
You know? I want you. Y'all need to go do that. And let's be honest, are women going to be fully open with other men about all that stuff?
Yeah.
No. They need women who can understand them.
That's right.
Thank God for the women's ministry. They
need women.
Well, we got to close out here.
Yeah.
You know, the last 2 points, we don't have time for today. But I think for us today as we close out, you can read it more later. We'll talk about, you don't have to put it up, but battling, of course, the spiritual family and also battling all people. But what I think as we close out today is asking yourself, what do you value? Like, I know when I think about our God, God values all of us. And you see from the evil four reading here how much he values women. But do you really value what God values? If God were to look at your life, would he say, wow, I see how you value what I value? And I'll be honest with you, you know, very often, people just want success. There's this quote by Albert Einstein. He once said, try not to be a man of success, but rather try to become a man of value. Become a person that actually has a, how makes a difference. Being success, that could be anything. But yet, as disciples, guys, we get to have value. We get to make a difference that has an eternal impact. And when Samuel gets baptized today, this is a man whose eternal destiny will be changed.
Amen.
Because we have the conviction and the love to love him.
Amen.
And to value him. My soon-to-be brother, I'm very proud of you.
Amen.
We love you very much. Amen, family.
Amen.
Family, let's elevate the standard of our values. Let's give our best to God. And let's make sure that when God looks at us, he sees men and women that truly value what he values,
yeah,
and not what this world values. Thank you, amen.